Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Ghirelli, Italy's premier rosary designer, creates beautiful heirloom quality rosaries for every season and celebration. Hundreds of unique rosaries honoring Jesus, Mary, and the saints await you at Ghirelli.com. With CMF Curo, you don't have to compromise your faith to get great health care. Finally, there is a pro-life option that respects and engages your Catholic faith with a community that supports you in living healthcare fully alive. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
This is the second week of our new message series, which will carry us through the season of Lent and all the way to Easter. The series is taking a long, serious look at a very important question concerning our lives, specifically the purpose of our lives. And to kick it off, last week we asked the question, why? As in, why am I here? We can find ourselves asking this question in any of the very many scenarios that we find ourselves in when it comes to work or school, social life, social media. It's not really a big deal. It's not really a big deal unless and until it is. Unless and until it's a question we begin asking about major areas of our life, like our vocation and direction in life, our career, or job, our friendships and relationships. And it's an even bigger deal to know our why when it comes to the whole span of our lives. Imagine living your whole life long and not even really understanding why you're here, why you exist. In the business of life, that why question usually doesn't get asked early enough or often enough. We're usually running around just trying to get through the day or the week or get to the weekend to complete our to-do list. But asking and answering the question why, it's vitally important, provides purpose and meaning. It adds value. It'll get us through the difficult times and make the good times even more enjoyable. Most importantly, if we're to live a life of meaning and significant, if we're to flourish and grow as we were designed to do, we need to know why we're here. Last week, we kicked off this series looking at several approaches that have been used in answering this question historically. The first one we could call introspection. This is looking within to find purpose and meaning in life. A second approach could be called speculation. This is looking without to great thinkers and philosophers for answers. And a third approach could be called self-assertion, which would contend that there are no answers. We just make up answers for ourselves. Ultimately, all three approaches disappoint because they're so limited in their perspective. On the other hand, if we really want to know about the purpose of something or anything really, isn't it best to start with the designer, the maker, the creator? To understand our purpose, we can try self-assertion, speculation, or introspection, or we can turn to revelation. We can turn to Scripture and learn what the Almighty Maker of absolutely everything has to say about it. And it turns out that he has a lot to say about it. Turns out you matter to God. You matter to God more than you'll ever understand or know this side of heaven. Before he spoke creation into being, the God of heaven knew your name. He planned you before your birth. He wants you to live with him forever in heaven. He knows everything about your life. He cares about every detail. He made you to love you. You were created as the object of his love. Simply stated, the purpose of this life is to begin to live in the light of that love. The purpose of this life is to begin to live in the light of eternity. And so this Lent, as a church family, we're taking time to look at what that means specifically. God's purposes as they're revealed to us in Scripture. These are ways that we access the grace and strength that comes from God so that we can grow in character, so that we can bear the good fruit of good works, so that we can get ready for eternity. God's purposes for our life. There are five of them, as we learn in Scripture. Worship, you were planned for God's pleasure. Fellowship, you were formed for God's family. Discipleship, you were created to be like Christ. Ministry, you were shaped to serve God and others. And mission, you were made to bring Christ to the world. So over these weeks of Lent, we're looking at each of these five purposes in detail and depth. And today, the first Sunday of Lent, we're beginning at the beginning. We're beginning with the first purpose, which is worship. Worship. Worship comes from an old English word. It's actually two words, worth-ship. It has to do with value. It has to do with value. Worship is the first purpose of our lives because it's the foundation of every other purpose. You might not think of it this way. You might not think about it at all. But you have been made to worship. You have been made to worship. And whether you know it or not, whether you believe it or not, you absolutely will worship. You will worship something or someone. We see this played out in the Gospel of Luke in a passage we just read, a passage we always hear at the beginning of Lent. Luke tells us, filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. Temptation, by the way, is not sin. It's just the recognition that sin can sometimes be very appealing. Experiencing temptation doesn't make you bad, it makes you human. Jesus experienced temptation because he was entirely human. As an aside, by the way, if you don't consider yourself a church person or a religious person, and so the idea of the devil seems a bit out of date, that's okay. You don't have to believe in the devil to get something out of this passage. You already know from experience that temptation is very real. You don't need to believe in the devil to believe in temptation. I believe in the devil just because I believe the Bible. It's the simplest approach for me, and so I believe in the devil. Plus, it makes a lot of sense to me that there's a person behind all the evil in the world. But if you don't believe in the devil, no worries. Don't let that get in the way of learning from this passage. Story goes on. The devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a single instant. The devil said to him, I shall give to you all this power and glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I may give it to whomever I wish. All this will be yours if you will worship me. So Jesus came for the purpose of winning back the power and authority that our first parents gave away to the evil one. This was his purpose. This was the mission he came to fulfill. The devil is not tempting Jesus with a bad thing or an inconsequential thing, but instead a very good thing, a thing he wanted very much. And in that moment, in that instance, he had to determine, he had to decide what was going to be the most important thing, his relationship with God or his mission to the world. We worship what we view as the most important thing in our lives. And there can only be one number one. That number one will change from time to time, perhaps, but there can only be one number one, and there will always be a number one in our lives. For instance, you may be tempted to power and prestige. It's all about making authority a priority, where you're large and in charge and in control of something, or maybe many things, or even everything. Or maybe you want to make a name for yourself so that others will think well of you. Applaud your success. Applaud the success of your kids. Let's face it, a lot of people worship their kids. They wouldn't say that. They wouldn't want it stated that way, but that's what it amounts to. Or they worship an idolized view of family life as they present that to the world. Maybe you're tempted by power and prestige, or maybe you're tempted by possessions, stuff, things, all the things that money can buy, or maybe just money itself. The very idea of money fills you with joy. You're worshiping possessions, or maybe it's pleasure. A lot of people worship at this altar. You like to have a good time all the time, or you just want to be left alone. You want to be comfortable. Maybe it's sports or kids' sports. That's a big one. Definitely. Sports and kids' sports come under this category. Sports are probably the number one form of worship in our community. Power and prestige, possessions, pleasure. None of these are bad things. They're good things. They can even be great things. And we can be quite right to name them as priorities in our lives. But, when we start worshiping them, that's a problem. And the problem is, they're too small. They're too small to be worthy of our worship. Eternity has been written on our hearts. Scripture tells us eternity has been written on our hearts. And nothing else, not even our friends and family, will be enough for us ultimately. We can worship them, and they'll disappoint. We can give our hearts to them, and they'll break our hearts. Because our hearts are made for more. Our hearts are made for God. And only God can fill our hearts with the meaning and significance that we crave. And meanwhile, God is actually pleased when we worship him. Not because he needs our worship, but because he knows we need it. When we worship God, we begin to discover, we begin to uncover our worth in him. And that's the greatest privilege of all. That's the greatest privilege ever. And so Jesus responds to this temptation that was a very real temptation. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve. He's actually quoting scripture himself in that verse. He's quoting Deuteronomy, which he did quite often. He begins his mission and ministry to reclaim the authority and power of this world by putting God first. Same for us. We best serve and honor and love the things that we serve and honor and love by putting God first before everybody and everything. So how do we do that? How do we worship? How do we make God first priority in our lives? Well, as Catholics, of course, the Eucharist is the source and summit of our worship. All our worship leads up to and flows from the Eucharist. It's the perfect prayer because it's Christ's own prayer to the Father, a prayer in which he graciously includes us. But to say it is the source and summit is also to say that there's more to our worship than what we do here. At least there ought to be. We practice worshiping God at Mass so that we can extend worship to other areas of our life. Worship is meant to be a lifestyle, and it requires giving to God. It requires giving to God three things, broadly speaking. We worship God by lending him our attention. Attention begins in the mind. Jesus taught us that we are to love the Lord our God with all our minds. When we turn our thoughts to God, when we pay attention in prayer or here at Mass, that's an important part of worship. As a parish, we want to help you worship, which is why we have screens and lights and all the technology. It's why we have kids programs for people with little kids to help you focus your mind, your attention on God. Outside of Mass, the same thing. We worship God whenever, wherever we focus on him, even in the smallest details of our day. We lend to him our attention, and then we lend to him our affection. One of the best ways to give God affection is through music and song. Music comes from a place deep within our being, from our heart and our soul. It can be a cry from deep within us that leads us to the higher realm of things. It's transformative, or at least it can be. Music and singing set to music can do what words alone cannot do. It helps us lend our affection to God. And there are other ways to do that too, like giving and serving, giving to the poor, giving or serving here in our place of worship as an act of worship can be powerful expressions of affection because it requires something from us. Attention, affection, and abilities. We worship God by giving him our abilities. You may feel the only time God pays any attention to you or is pleased with you is when you're doing something spiritual, like praying or going to church. You may think God is unconcerned about the other parts of your life, and you would be wrong. God, like any father, enjoys the whole of your life, your efforts and accomplishments, your achievements and success. Every human activity, save for sin, can be done for God's pleasure if you do it with an attitude of praise. God especially enjoys watching you use the talents and abilities he's given you for some good effect, whatever it is, out in the world. Basically, worship, it's not just to be a part of our lives, but extends to the whole of our lives. Worship can be a lifestyle choice that we make every day in many ways. Here are just three ways that I could mention for your consideration this season of Lent. How about developing a daily quiet time, 5 to 6 minutes a day? If you're doing more than that already, great, good, keep it up. But if you're not doing anything, how about 5 to 6 minutes a day of daily quiet time? That's your primetime prayer time. And in that time, you can do anything you want to do. You can listen to Christian music. You can read scripture. You can repeat devotions or prayers. Or you can just be quiet before God and listen to him. You can do it on your daily commute. You can do it while you're waiting for your kids to pick up your kids at school. You can do it over your morning coffee. Little known fact, but you can drink coffee while you pray. I do it every day. But But don't stop there. That's a great place to start. But don't stop there. Extend prayer throughout the course of your day. I, for instance, am a big fan of grace before meals. Old-fashioned idea, but a really great one. To pause and pray every time before you eat. Pray in gratitude for the gifts that are given. And then throughout the course of the day, think about this. Every time you find yourself worried or annoyed, anxious or upset, turn that thought, turn that feeling into a prayer. How about that? Every time you're anxious, every time you're upset, every time you're annoyed or worried, turn that into a prayer. You'll be praying all day long. It's simple steps like this. Simple steps like this that can help us begin living worship. When you're living worship, you know what? You're living your life in the light of eternity.
BreadBox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.
CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. That's mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.